From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about hunger in the Coulee region with groups that are working to feed people. That includes Aaron Waldhart, executive director of Wafer, a food pantry serving La Crosse and Houston counties, and Jennifer Woodford, executive director of Channel One Regional Food Bank based in Rochester. They're both joining us today. Another organization that works to feed those who are hungry is the Salvation Army. I visited Salvation Army in La Crosse at lunchtime yesterday. Volunteers were serving chili dogs, potato salad, and marshmallow fluff salad. Sitting in the back corner was Katie Osman, and asleep next to her in a stroller was her daughter. Katie's been in and out of the shelter for a few years. She's a single mother caring for a daughter who suffers from severe seizures. I first asked Katie to talk a bit about herself.
I usually like to be around my daughter, watch movies with her, or listen to music, play games on my phone, walk around if it's not too cold.
Well, I like to write. I like to draw. I usually just write my feelings down because that's just how I communicate. I mainly write poems sometimes.
My name is Catherine Holtzman. I'm 27 and I'm living in La Crosse, Wisconsin. My daughter is Mia Bagwell, and she's 2.5. We've been here since the 22nd of last month of November. We eat all three meals here. We have breakfast in the mornings from 7:30 to 8. Then we have lunch from 11:30 to 12. We have dinner from 4:30 to 5. And then we have a snack meal, which is at 7:30 to 8, and they get like chips sometimes or cake sometimes. If it's a special occasion, it'd be cake and ice cream or cookies and ice cream. I try to get my daughter to eat because she's a sick kid, but yeah, we eat the meals here. I try to.
What would you do if they didn't have the meals here?
Well, I get food stamps. But if I didn't have food stamps, I don't know what I would do. I mean, I know there's other churches that do help out families that can't afford food or stuff like that, and I'd have to go there and eat there. But since I do have food stamps, I can easily go get a pizza or a sandwich or something like that and still be able to feed her. Even if I had a little bit of money, I'd give it to my daughter first. She's more important than me eating. That's just how I think I should be.
And you were saying that part of the problem you're having right now is finding work, especially because your daughter and the situation she's in?
Yes, it's I really can't get a job because my daughter is a seizure child, and a lot of jobs can't accept it because she's sick and stuff, and she would go into a seizure, and some jobs won't accept because I would have to leave immediately because she can die from it. So she stays with me, but normally if she was a healthy child, I'd be able to have a job. So I mean, things may change, you may get better. I mean, she might come out of a seizure and, you know, never have one again, which is really good, but you never know. God has his own plans for everybody. Well, yeah, I think, you know, things will change. I mean, you can't always change, but if God wants somebody to be somewhere, he's going to make them stay.
So that was Katie. She's been staying at the Salvation Army in La Crosse on and off for a few years now. She just returned to La Crosse. She's from Memphis, but she just returned to La Crosse a few weeks ago, kind of hoping to get her life back on track. And she's on her way. I mean, she seemed confident, but everyone has a unique story. People who are hungry have a unique story, and but hers may not necessarily be unique. There are probably thousands of people in the same situation as Katie. Not here in La Crosse, but across the country.
Well, absolutely. And I think that's what's just always important to remember, is that everybody does have a story and everybody has a reason. And those reasons just vary widely, whether it's a child who has a medical crisis of your own, damage to your property that you have to take care of, a house fire, unexpected car repair bills. I mean, when you are in that kind of bottom rung for income, when you're in poverty, the slightest little thing can throw your plan completely off whack. And so then you have to think, okay, now what? If I don't pay this bill, I can pay my rent, but I have to put gas in the car because I have to get to work, so I have to pay for gas. And it's just this carefully arranged series of if-thens. And if the if gets messed up, then the thens all get messed up. And there's so many places you have to continue to put your resources, your financial resources, and buying food isn't always one of them. I mean, unfortunately for some people, that's where they have to make the cuts. So that's where agencies like Wayfair and the Salvation Army are so important, to provide that safety net.
And someone like Katie, who, you know, she's mostly in the shelter. She says she doesn't want to burden her friends in the area. But she does get food stamps. And so she's able to maybe go and make a pizza at a friend's house every now and then, like she sort of talked about. But Aaron, someone like Katie, if she's going to Salvation Army, she's getting food stamps, can she also go to Wayfair? Can she also go to any other place that's giving food out in La Crosse? How does that work for her?
Well, for us, it's a little touchy. Knowing that people that live in the shelter get 3 meals a day from the shelter, we usually refer them back to the Salvation Army.
And is that sort of how all the other food pantries work, not only in La Crosse, but is that across the country sort of how it works? Just because
I can't speak for other organizations.
Sure.
It's just that we know that resources are limited.
That's
and if
what
they're getting
wondering.
3 meals a day at the Salvation Army, there probably isn't a whole lot of use for the food package that we can provide.
Yeah. And I think it just varies depending on what resources are in your community. I mean, La Crosse is lucky that there is a shelter here that provides 3 meals a day, but not every community has that. So in some cases, you know, if you're staying in a shelter, you might have, you know, the warmth and the heat and the walls, but they might not have a meal program. So I think it just varies depending on what the resources are.
Are there many shelters that provide meals in Southeast Minnesota?
Not that are as comprehensive as the Salvation Army here in La Crosse. I mean, there are a couple, and it just depends community by community. The larger the community tends to be, the more resources that are available. But that's where kind of the creativity of each community comes in. You know, when resources are being cut, specifically like now with SNAP benefits, I know we put together a sheet. Now, we try to make referrals as often as possible to different other programs that might be of assistance, whether they're our own programs or programs that we partner with. But we specifically put a sheet together that talked about meals that were served. And you can pretty much find a meal, even if you're not in a shelter situation, almost every day of the week in Olmsted County. And so, you know, just trying to connect people to other options that are available for them, other resources that are already in the community.
And here in La Crosse, is Salvation Army one of the only places you can go for a meal? Or, I mean, do churches?
There are several others.
Okay. Can you mention some of the others?
Place of Grace. There is, I'm not sure how often, there's a church in West Salem that offers a meal. There's more. Just off the top of my head, I can't
fine.
Think of them. But I know that there's several around the area, and we make referrals to them as well. You know, we're not the only stop for people. They need to tap into the other resources to make life better.
And I know earlier we talked about the SNAP food stamp benefits being cut, but I thought I'd rattle off some numbers. According to the Wisconsin State Journal, they did some analysis on it from a couple different organizations, and they found that at least in La Crosse County, 17% of the population receives benefits, and that's 30% of the children in La Crosse County are getting food benefits. In Monroe and Jackson County, it's 20%, and much higher for children. It was 36 and 38% in those counties. And at least in southwest Wisconsin, the county that had the highest number of people receiving food stamp benefits, SNAP benefits, was in Richland County. It was 23% of the population and 39% of the children, which is, that's a large percentage of schools. Mm-hmm. So, you're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. My guests today are Jennifer Woodford. She's executive director of the Channel One Regional Food Bank based in Rochester, and Aaron Waldhart, executive director of Wafer, a food pantry serving La Crosse and Houston counties. I want to talk about maybe a few events that are coming up that do help out the different food pantries and food banks in the region. Jennifer, before we were talking about the holiday train, can you explain what exactly that program is and how it benefits the different communities it stops in?
So the holiday train is a program that's been run by Canadian Pacific Railroad for many years, and I don't have the numbers in front of me as far as many years, but they decorate a train. It's several cars long, all decorated with holiday lights. One of the cars actually turns into a stage. They do some musical performances. There's an appearance by Santa at every stop along the way. But in every town where the train stops, they try to do something for hunger relief. They partner with an agency and do a food drive, encourage people to bring food and funds. Canadian Pacific supports each community with a financial donation as well. So it's wonderful that in addition to highlighting kind of the merriment of the holidays and all the celebrations that are going on, that they really keep all along their journey, they keep the issue of hunger at the forefront and try to do what they can at each town along their journey.
And this has been very beneficial for your organization in the past?
Yeah, the train did not make an appearance last year, but the couple of years prior to that, the first year, in fact, it ever came to Rochester, even though it was about 20 degrees below zero, it was a Sunday night. We had several hundred people, filling barrels and boxes with food and making financial donations. Again, we talked earlier about the holidays, and in general, people are feeling generous this time of year. And so to have another very festive opportunity for people to support us is fantastic.
And I know Wafer is not receiving the food that will be donated in La Crosse tonight, but it's still it'll be going to another food pantry here in La Crosse, correct?
Yes.
And then another event that goes on annually is the Rotary Lights here in La Crosse. I believe last year, I forgot to write the number down, but it was 280,000 pounds of food, something like that. But they, every year, Rotary Lights, they pick a different organization each night that they're donating food to. Can you talk about how Wafer's been involved in the Rotary Lights and maybe the benefit that that's brought on?
Well, the food that's collected at Rotary Lights is probably one of the larger food collections by a single agency that we have. The food generally lasts us till mid-February, which is quite large. Sometimes some of the nights that, well, for instance, last year there was one night where we received 14,000 pounds of food. That's outstanding. It's a lot to go through and a lot to get on the shelves and out to people's tables. But we certainly enjoy the food that comes in and the variety and what it means for the families locally. Rotary Lights is wonderful, to drive through and see all the lights and then be able to participate by helping families locally through donations is really dual purpose. And we thank the Rotary Lights Committee for putting this together and including hunger agencies.
And this year, their Thanksgiving and Christmas are closer together than they were in the past. I think 3 weeks separate the two holidays, where in the past we had 4 weeks. So not only with Rotary Lights is there one less week to really collect money, but, I mean, I'm wondering if for other holiday drives, if this is something that is concerning to your organizations or if it's just one of those things you're hoping that people see the need and understand the lack of time that we have this year.
As far as Rotary Lights is concerned and a less week, it's probably going to impact the total poundage at the last total. And we will have less donated to us because there's less nights that we get to receive that food. In the end, I'm just hopeful that we're going to have other community agencies that find value in what we do and want to be a part of it and arrange something on their own and surprise me with a call.
And what about with Channel One? Is there anything different that you have to do this year just because the holiday season's a little more condensed?
Yeah, and I think that it's been a little bit of a challenge. Thanksgiving, you know, with being 1 week, you know, as late really as it almost possibly could be, and condensing that holiday celebration and giving season has put a lot of people kind of into a frenzy. There's a lot of people that don't really like to start their Christmas holidays until after Thanksgiving, and I totally understand that. I feel the same way. I wouldn't let us put up our tree or, you know, start any of those Christmas celebrations. But there is one less week. And whether it's for your own personal celebrations, whether it's for the volunteer work you want to do in your community, whether it's for the support you want to give, it's just condensed. So there's a little bit of a frenzy. And we do have a lot of people calling and saying, I'd really like to do this before Christmas, and how we kind of manage that. Again, whether it's either coming in to volunteer, hosting a food drive, whatever the case may be, just trying to cram it in into seven less days does make a difference.
I thought another event worth mentioning is on December 12th, there's going to be sort of a discussion dinner called Exploring Food Security in Our Community, and it'll be held at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in La Crosse. I think it's partially put on by the Hunger Task Force, partially put on by Western Technical College students. But essentially, people pay $5 to go to a meal, and they could get an extravagant meal or they could get a fairly simple meal and something in between. So there will also be discussions sort of surrounding the meals that people receive. And I've heard of other communities doing this too. But, I mean, is that a good way for people to just sort of understand what it's like to be food secure versus food insecure? I mean, really eating that meal and seeing it and being surrounded by others that are experiencing it?
Well, if you're sitting at a table with somebody else and you have, you know, just a very small portion, if anything at all, and seeing everybody else having something better than you have or more, I think it really hits home with there are people that deal with this on a daily basis, and this is a reality.
Jennifer?
I agree. I actually took part in a SNAP challenge during Hunger Action Month in September. So for 1 week, I lived off of the average benefit per day for our area, which is $3.86.
Per day?
That's the average per day. So it was $27.01 for the week. And it really I've always certainly been a supporter of what we do and believe in it, and done whatever I could to advance our mission for ourselves and our partners. But I had a whole nother level of understanding after doing the SNAP challenge. $3.86 a day doesn't go very far.
What were some example meals that you made?
I ate a lot of pasta and rice. I did splurge and I brought brown rice as opposed to white rice, but it was more expensive. The only fresh, I brought a bag of carrots, and then I brought bananas at Quick Trip because they were cost effective. I brought my milk at Quick Trip. Again, I was kind of shopping different places where I knew I could get the best deals. But, you know, very little in the way of fresh fruits and vegetables, no whole grains, and, you know, a lot of peanut butter and jelly. It was awful. I thought constantly about what my next meal was going to be, what food I had left, how I could put it together, how maybe it could be different than the last three times I ate it. And I just would be kind of become obsessed about what my next meal was going to be. You know, for me, it was 1 week. It was very limited. I didn't put my family through the exercise. I didn't have the heart to do that. And that was the luxury I had, was that I didn't have to, you know, have my family go through this with me. The thought of having them have those same thoughts and those same feelings brought me to tears more than once. And I really was hungry all the time.
So we only have a couple minutes left, but I'm wondering if you can talk about what more people can do right now, those who are in the position where they're able to help others. What do you want them to do? Erin, what can people do in La Crosse and Houston counties?
Volunteer, get involved, organize an event, just see the people that are impacted by food insecurity and hunger that live right next door. You know, I tell people when I'm out giving talks, the very first time that I worked at a food pantry, my very first client, she changed me. You know, the eyes, the tears that she had in her eyes and the way that she looked at me and was profusely grateful for the food changed me and made me more passionate about what I do. And to know that there are people out there who don't necessarily show the physical emotions of being hungry and the struggles that they have, but yet they still go through it. And so just seeing it once is usually enough for people to get involved, get active, do something about hunger in their own community.
And Jennifer, what about with Channel One?
I completely agree. I think when you can see what's going on, it makes all the difference. It makes it so much more personal. And there's so many different ways. As Erin mentioned, volunteering is a wonderful way to give back. If you have the means to put a couple of extra cans or boxes into your grocery cart and drop those off either at your local hunger relief agency, or if your church collects food, or whatever the case may be, you may not think that a couple of cans here, a couple of boxes there make a difference. A dollar here, a dollar there, that doesn't make any difference. Doesn't do any good, but it does, because we can provide enough food for five meals with a donation of every dollar. Wafer can do something similar. I mean, what hunger relief agencies can take a little and turn into a lot is remarkable, and every little bit really does make a difference.
Jennifer Woodford is executive director of Channel One Regional Food Bank based in Rochester, and Erin Waldhart is executive director of Wafer, a food pantry serving La Crosse and Houston counties. Today, we were talking about hunger in the Coulee region. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Stroub, and our senior producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find extended interviews, photos, and links to the local food banks. And if you'd like to comment on our program, or if you have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. You can also find Newsmakers on Facebook, updates on future shows, more photos, and links to our archives. Like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.